अर्जुन सेस शिष्यस्ते हम शादी माम त्वाम प्रपन्नम सेस आई एम योर स्टूडेंट आई एम योर डिसाइपल आई हैव सरेंडर्ड टू यू आई हैव एक्सेप्टेड यू एज माय गुरु एज माय टीचर शादी माम शादी मीन नॉट शादी द वेडिंग बट शादी मीन टीच मी प्लीज टीच मी योर टीचर व्हाट आई शुड डू एंड व्हाट आई शुड नॉट डू. And why does he say that? He says, Karpanya dosho apahat svabhavaha prichami tvam dharma sammuna chetaha yat shreya shat syat nishchitam bruhitan me shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. He says, my mind is full with self-pity and I don't know what is my duty. I don't know what I am supposed to do, what is right, what is wrong. I am confused. And you please teach me, because you are wise, you know what I should and what I should not do. As we have seen in this first chapter and in the first few verses of the second chapter, Arjuna was, as we see here in the battle between the good and the evil, the two armies, he is stationed there, Krishna has taken him. And when he sees the army of the other side filled with his teacher, with his grandfather, with his uncles and cousins, he said, there's going to be so much destruction. And so he starts telling Krishna why he should not fight. And he says that I will be the cause of this problem. So the problem was not that he did not know his duty. He knew that what he's supposed to do at that time. He knew that these people standing in front of me are evil and they have tried to poison us, they have tried to burn their house down, they have stolen their kingdom, they have done everything dishonest and they are bad even for the country to have bad rulers. He knew that, but his ego, this I comes in there, that I will be responsible. So forgetting that this is a conflict between good and evil, between dharma and adharma, between what is right and what is wrong, he puts himself in there. But then he's trying to get out of this confusion. So at least that's the wise thing, the smart thing he does, that he wants to see. Most of us, when we're doing wrong or when we don't even know that we are. Some of us know that we are doing wrong, but we don't want to change. Some of us are doing wrong, we want to change, but we don't know how to go about it. So at least he knew that I have this problem, I need to get out, and he finds the Lord himself, so he surrenders. And that is the attitude when one approaches a spiritual teacher, and that is why we prostrate and touch the feet, not that it's not to fatten their ego, but for us to surrender our ego and go in humility. And the learning should be done with sincerity, you know, listening, not just hearing. There's a difference between hearing and listening. I'm sure women know that. Is your husband hearing you or listening to you? So here also, we have to listen to our teacher. And it's very important to be a good student. A student not only who listens, but who then takes it inside, makes it part of his or her understanding, and then adopts it, brings it to their life. So the student's attitude is as important as the teacher's teaching. Talking about student, this one student got a 0 in his final. So he goes to the teacher and says, teacher, I don't think I deserve a 0. She says, yeah, I know you don't deserve a 0, but I could not give you a lower grade than that. Another student used to be in trouble all day, this young boy, constantly in trouble. So his teacher says, how do you get into trouble so much every day? He says, teacher, I get up very early in the morning. So we have to be the right kind of student. And that is what Arjuna is, because as we will see throughout the Bhagavad Gita, his attitude is sincere. He asks questions. Even when he disagrees, he does it very politely and humbly, with the idea of clarifying his doubts. So here now, Krishna had tried to, first when in the beginning of the second chapter, he almost humiliates him, insults him. He says, from where is this weakness come about? Where is this durbalta of your mind? You're acting like a weakling and a coward, and all those strong words he uses, and it doesn't help. He says, no, how can I shoot arrows against Drona and Bhishma? They are worthy of worship. I should be worshipping their feet. And so Krishna realizes that he is not going to listen. And Arjuna continues his confusion. So today we'll talk a little bit more about Arjuna's confusion. And then the beginning of the teaching. Not the beginning, but Sanjay telling us about the teaching. So verse number 8. Nahi prapashyami mama panudyat. Yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam. Avapya bhuma vasapatnam riddham. Rajyam suranam api chadhipatyam. So Arjuna says, why am I approaching you, O Guru? Because I nahi prapashyami. Pashyami means I see. Prapashyami means I don't see clearly. Na. Indeed, he means indeed prapashyami mama yat shokam apnutyad. Apnutyad means what will remove my shokam, my sorrow. What is this shokam doing? What is this sorrow doing? Uchoshanam indriyanam. It is drying my senses. So he's not only mentally, not only intellectually confused about his duty, mentally he's sorrowful, he's crying, he's depressed, and physically he is unable to perform. He's not even able to hold up his bow and arrow, and his senses are burning. He says, I can't see clearly, I can't hear clearly, my whole body is burning, my limbs are shaking, and he's just sitting on the in the chariot, unable to even walk. That is his status. So he says, yat shokam uchoshan, this sorrow is drying up my senses, and I don't think anybody will remove it. Apnutyad means anything will remove it. Even if I get, you're telling me that by fighting I'm going to get this kingdom, avapya, getting bhuma of the earth, asapatnam ritam, even if I get the kingship of the whole world, this entire earth, forget about this kingdom of Hastinapur, but even if you give me the kingdom of this whole earth, rajyam, even the kingship of the whole world, or suranam api chadipatyam, or even the suranam, sura means the gods in heaven, api even adipatyam, even the kingship of the gods, even if you make me Indra or Zeus, like in the Greek mythology, even you give me that, I don't think my sorrow can be dried out. So as we see that Arjuna has, some people say that this is where Ragya, or he is now detached from the kingdom. It's not true Vairagya. See, one Vairagya, true Vairagya is that a person who has understood the world, experienced it, enjoyed the world, and still does not get complete satisfaction, complete happiness. And so such a person approaches the teacher, as we see in the Upanishads, we just finished the Upanishad, where he says, Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan Brahmana. So having seen the world, still the person, the student, goes to the teacher because he says the world is not going to give me the happiness I desire. Here Arjuna is not going from Vairagya, he is going from confusion, where he doesn't know what his duty is. So there's a little difference between Arjuna and other students who are going with the right understanding. Why am I going to the teacher? And then he says this shokam is like a fever. See, like when I have intense fever and I'm really sick and my body is aching, and somebody says, you know, come on, let's go to a party, let's go to this wonderful show you had been, you know, waiting for so long for this singer to come, and she's here in town, let's go. He says, no, I just want something to get rid of my fever, my ache. You know, I don't think going to that concert will help me. Or you're mentally stressed, you know, you're mentally depressed, and somebody says, come on, you know, let's go to this friend's house, let's go to the picnic, I'll give you Indra Loka. He says, I don't want anything. I just want what will free me from this physical or mental sorrow. So that is what he is looking for. And he knows that it will not be obtained in material objects. That he is very clear about. He says, even the whole kingship of the three worlds, heaven, earth, hell, even of the whole earth. So that at least his understanding is clear. And what he is looking for is Shreyas. Gurudev in his commentary says that the word Shreyas is a very, very beautiful word in Kathopanishad. Shreyas and Preyas are both distinguished. Preyas is what gives me joy, what gives me temporary pleasure. But Shreyas is what is good for me and good for all, good for society. If something is good for me, I become prosperous, but I'm taking from others and stealing from others, that is not Shreyas. In fact, Shreyas is done at four levels. I think in the Manual of Self-Unfoldment, Gurudev covers this very well. Those of you who have not read it should take that. That's a very, very good book that gets you started on this subject. If you have not studied Manual of Self-Unfoldment, that will help you to get fundamentals will be clear. So that is a very good book. So there Gurudev says that Shreyas can be at four levels. Say now I'm hungry and somebody gives me a sweet. So bodily it is good. You know, I got it, I was hungry, I got the sweet. So my body level is okay, but he gives it insultingly. Get out of here, you know, you are so useless. You just keep coming every time and asking for food. You know, here, take it. So then what happens? Bodily I'm hungry, but my mind is insulted. I don't want the sweet. If somebody gives me insultingly, but sometimes, you know, especially in India, when we give to beggars, you know, either you give or don't give, but we insultingly give, and that's not good. When you give somebody, it should not be with the attitude that I am doing you a favor. When I'm giving somebody, the idea is that this person is giving me an opportunity to serve. The Lord has given me so much, and when I give somebody, it's not a favor to him, it is a favor to me, and that's what people say, those who truly serve, they say that I'm grateful that this person has given me an opportunity to serve, to evolve. So mind should be, it should be happily given. Then intellectually, now he's giving me a sweet, he's giving me with a lot of love, but I have diabetes, so I know I shouldn't be eating sugar. So even I may eat it, physically I'm okay, mentally, but intellectually I've understood, no, that's not right. So my intellect should be satisfied. And spiritually, means I'm fasting. You know, I have decided that Ekadashi I'll fast, or this particular day, or, you know, I've given up sweets or whatever. And when I get that, no matter how hungry I am, no matter how lovingly it is given, it is good for me and all that. But at this moment, it's not good for my spiritual growth. So all actions should, when I do, should be counted at four levels. Is it physically good for me? Is it emotionally good for me? Is it intellectually good for me? And it is spiritually good for me. So that alone is Shreyas. And it's not only good for me, but it is good for society. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually good for all. So that is the kind of question he asks. And then how should we approach a teacher? So there are some people who will pick up a question, you know, they love this particular question, and they say, you know, I've asked this question to five teachers and I'm comparing, I'm going to see who gives the best answer. And he says, I am even writing a book, Question and Answers with Teachers, how to ask questions. You know, that's not the the point. Of course, you can ask questions, you can discuss, but the point idea is that once you have found a good teacher, then surrender. Otherwise, what happens is I'm still holding on to the question and not worrying about the answers. I have five answers. So the right teacher and the right question at the right time when I have problem, that is, so. It, and also a question should not be an idle question, you know, just like that in the middle of the class, you know, or especially in conferences. Some people will just get up, ask questions just to show their knowledge. And the question is so long because they're showing how much they know, and then they're, so it should be the right attitude. Talking about teacher, there is a very, very beautiful story of Yajnavalkya. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard it, Katyayani and Maitreyi, but it's such a beautiful story, it's worth repeating. So there was this great rishi, this great scholar, this great sage, his name was Yajnavalkya. But he was also a wonderful teacher, and he taught large number of students. Some of them were children of kings and children of very, very rich, prosperous families. So all of them would give him land and donate him a lot of money and cows. And so over the years, he accumulated a fairly good-sized school and an institution where a lot of students were learning every day and all. And he was doing wonderful service, spiritually also very evolved sage. And it so happened that he now was in his 70s. And as we know in our ancient scriptures, they said there are four stages, which even now are relevant. First 25 years are study, brahmacharya. Then 26 to 50 is my grahasthashram, my family time, when I take care of my family, my children, and get them going. And then from 51 to 70 or 75 is called vanaprastha. Most of us are in that stage, I think. And that is the time when you should start withdrawing. You know, stop getting involved in too much in your activities of your kids and grandkids and interfering and what's happening in the house. My goal is spiritual. So from that time onward, my slowly I should reduce my work and make myself more and more inclined towards spirituality. Start spending more time in studying, in listening to discourses, in meeting with other seekers. Taittiriya Upanishad also says beautifully, Swadhyaya Pravachanabhyam Na Pramaditavyam. So Swadhyaya and Pravachana. Pravachana is listening to discourses. We have Swamijis who come all the time. So listening to them and self-study. Swadhyaya is very important. People think Gita class only, ho gaya. You know, I came on Sunday, I heard Gita, that's good for 1 week. No, it's not. You have to go home and study. We have these beautiful books by Swami Chinmayananda, the commentary, those green books. So we must all have that and listen to it, because that is the basis of what we discuss here. You should go home, not only read that, but read other books. Because throughout the week, every evening, I must spend some time in self-study. It's very important. Either reading or listening to discourses. Nowadays online, you have so many talks, even these talks Tony is putting online, or there are talks by all the other acharyas of Chinmaya Mission. So listen to them. Every day I should spend half to 1 hour in self-study. Without that, the spiritual progress is not possible. It's same thing if you're a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. Every day you are doing some study, reading some journals. So similarly, as a spiritual student, those are my journals. I have to read them every day. And that is very, very important. So this is the teaching of this Yajnavalkya. So anyway, Yajnavalkya was a wonderful teacher. And he now was at the stage of sannyas. See, the 51 to 70, 75 is vanaprastha. And after that, you are supposed to take sannyas, where you have nothing to do with the world. You completely retire. In the olden days, they used to go in the forest and live in the forest, and whatever time they had left, spend in meditation, prayer, and then drop their body in remembering the Lord. Not even doing service, nothing. Just living in sannyas, maybe begging for food, things like that. So this Yajnavalkya was now in the sannyas stage. So he said, look, I have accumulated all this in ashram, this school, but at this moment I want to give everything up and go take sannyas, go to the forest and spend my time in meditation. Now he had two wives, Katyayani and Maitreyi. Katyayani was very dutiful, very sweet, very loving. And she said, I know, you know, you have to go. That is, that was the tradition. It was accepted. But at least she was comfortable because he said, I'm going to divide this wealth equally between two of you. Both of the wives will have it. And so at least you are well taken care of. You don't have to worry about what will happen. So Katyayini was okay with that. Okay, my husband is going. I don't have a choice. She's not happy, but she doesn't have a choice. However, Maitreyi had actually was a scholar. She had read the Upanishads. She had studied a lot of texts. Very, very advanced student. And she says, Lord, you know, her husband, she says, you are going to the forest. He says, yes. You're going to give all this up? All this you have built so many years? He says, yes. He says, why are you going? He says, well, you know, I want to take sannyas. So she says, you are going for something better than what is here? You're teaching so many students, helping. Is there something better? He says, yes, it is better because it is the highest goal. So she says, and you want me to stay here and to get all this wealth, and you are going for something better? I don't agree with that. Take me with you. So he says, look, I can't do that. Sannyas means wife cannot go. We cannot be together. She said, okay, I understand. Then teach me before you leave. Teach me what you are going to get. Why are you going? And so there is this beautiful Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is in the office. It's a fairly voluminous, beautiful, very, very nice. And some beautiful examples he gives. He says in that, he says a man loves a woman or a woman loves a man, not for the body, but for the soul. Now, true love is for the soul. We think it is for the body. And temporarily, yes, you know, there is a physical attraction. But the physical attraction will not last. Ultimately, the relationship has to be a spiritual relationship. The two have to be together. The congruence of the spiritual oneness is very important. Then only the relationship will last. And so, same thing, he says the love for a child or love that a mother has is because the child is me, that the spiritual connection is there. So true love is only love which is spiritual. And then another place he talks about, he says, just as the ocean, you know, from the ocean come all the water, and the water separates, it goes into the air, becomes rain, and then from the rain falls into the river and the ponds, and then the rivers flow to the ocean. Even when the drop is away from the ocean, it is still the ocean water. Even when it is water vapor, it is still the ocean water, and ultimately its goal is to merge back. So similarly, all of us came from Brahman, that Om, that one consciousness, and which is the one in all. There is only one consciousness. There is only one Om, one Atman. It seems separate, her and his and her consciousness, his consciousness. But there is only one Atman, one consciousness that is pervading everywhere. And we all have emerged from that. And all of us, just as the water, even the water vapor is water, even the ocean is water, the river is water. So we all are that reality, that Brahman, who have emerged from this and look separate, just as the raindrops look separate from each other. But once they fall, ultimately they all become water and they all go into the ocean. So each one of us, even though we are separate, we are that immutable reality. So such beautiful teachings were in that Brihadaranyaka. There's a lot more, of course. I only just picked a couple of points. So she gets so thrilled at the end of this. It's a very voluminous. I'm sure it took him several days to teach her. And she bows down and touches his feet and says, I've got what I wanted. And so Yajnavalka goes, and she also becomes a sannyasini. She gives up all that. She says, I do not want all this buildings and property and cows, and I'm also. So she just becomes a monk, puts on orange clothes and just begs for food, and she starts teaching because she already was an evolved teacher, and then her husband had taught her further, and she becomes a beautiful teacher. People accept her as a wonderful teacher. So many people come and learn from her. She actually composed an Upanishad. It's called Maitreyi Upanishad. So she's such an evolved teacher, and there is actually a college in Delhi University, there's a college called Maitreyi College to honor this wonderful lady. So the point is that in those days, the Upanishads were studied by women. It was only later on, you know, this power struggle where they said only priests can study, only men can study, women are not qualified. And then when the Muslims came, this, you know, distinction became even more strong. So that's the beautiful story of how, with the right kind of student and the right kind of teacher, this beautiful evolution took place. In not only it helped them, but she was able to help so many other people. So that is called Shreyas, where you then not only help yourself, but then you help society to get better. So this is the first verse. Any questions or comments?